Well, in all honesty, after we heard the instruction that prospective MHKs and existing MHKs might be precluded from decision making if they made comment on this project, the Morvannon project, we felt that that was somewhat unfair, really, and not only unfair to existing MHKs, but unfair to those prospective MHKs who are knocking on people's doors and asking for their support in the next election, because obviously the biggest subject in the Garth area is the Morvannon proposal, and it's the one thing that the AG's office has instructed them not to talk about or give an opinion on. Now, how much talking can you do before you form an opinion? I'm not sure. You can only say, I can't talk about it, or I'm not sure, or I can't comment on it. That's possibly the only things you can say without giving away why either you're for it or against it. And we felt that was somewhat unfair because not only for Garth, but for the whole island now, this is a massive project. And we feel that the prospective MHKs, especially, should have the opportunity to speak fully about it and give their opinion because it is going to be absolutely the biggest subject on people's lips in the Garth area.
How much of a problem has the current guidance about the Morvannon wind farm been for the community?
Well, it's caused a lot of confusion, really, because people are unsure what can be spoken about. It can they speak to their prospective MHK on the subject of taxation or the budget or whatever else? People aren't all sure that it's just the Morvannon thing. Certainly, we've had a lot of questions into the office here at Garth asking what they can ask, and I think that's fairly undemocratic, to be honest. It also kind of skews a little bit of an argument that they're saying that prospective MHKs or existing MHKs who go on to become members of the Council of Ministers can be included in the decision making if they haven't mentioned it. Now, if you look at that from a different aspect, that's almost kind of bribing people not to talk about it. If you're good and don't talk about it, we'll give you a job in the Council of Ministers. That you can look at it from that point of view. And certainly, I think some people have looked at it from that point of view, that it's guidance on how to be in the Council of Ministers almost.
What advice would you give to residents who have concerns about this guidance? Obviously, there you said people aren't sure what they can and can't ask candidates. Have you got any advice from your experience as being a commissioner for those residents who might have those concerns?
Obviously, people in the Garth area, as well as the Morvannon proposal, are worried about the future of the island's economy, the state of the roads, the health service, all aspects that everybody on the island's worried about at the moment. And this is a vital election to try and address some of those issues. And I would really say to residents of Garth is ask any question you want to, because this is your opportunity to make a difference. Ask any question on the doorstep you want to. And if you find that the candidate on the doorstep is unwilling to give you their opinion on the Morvannon proposal, ask them if they are wanting to be within the Council of Ministers should they be re-elected. And if they say no, then you can tell them that they are perfectly entitled to give you their opinion on the Morvannon proposal. There's nothing precluding them from doing that if they're going to just go in as an MHK. But if they say yes and they want to be an MHK, then you have got the decision as to whether you support the Morvannon proposal or you don't support it to vote for that person if they want to be a minister within the next cabinet. So I would just say that ask them any question you want to and form your own opinion of what that candidate's opinion is on the Morvannon proposal and on taxation and on the health service and on, transport roads and the other things that concern our residents and the residents of the whole island.
Back to the latter, you've requested that the guidance be amended to a predetermination and predisposition. Can you just explain what that means and how that would work and how the authority sort of came to that request?
We really took legal advice and looked at matters in the UK and how they run things. And of course, we don't have to follow the UK, but generally the rules are alongside those kind of things. And the Local Government Association in the UK set out that the two differences between predetermination and predisposition, and we feel that this is really the crux of the matter, and this should be given a lot of thought by the AG if he decides on the submission of our letter to amend the advice he's given out. Predetermination occurs when a member has fixed views on a matter and retains a closed mind. They've decided that A is A and B can't possibly be a possibility. Whereas predisposition, a member realizes all the benefits of A but is still willing to consider B, however unlikely they will hear arguments about the other subject, and will still keep their mind open to the possibility of changing their thoughts to option B instead of option A. So predetermination is a closed mind, and predisposition is the possibility that they are open to the alternative sort of proposal.
What do you think is the general feeling in Garth about the advice that's been given?
If I was going to put a word on it, the word I would say I'd heard most is undemocratic. Undemocratic. People think that you cannot restrain people from talking about what they want to talk about on the doorstep. And it might not be exactly like that as the AG's advice has been given out, but that is the conclusion that people have come to, is that they've been advised not to talk about a subject. Now, what about if something else happens? Putting Morvanen to one side, what about if there's another very large and very important subject and the AG says that you can't give that advice out because we've yet to decide it in the Council of Ministers? That's not almost not free speech, is it really? Because you're deciding what people can talk about and what they can't talk about at the doorstep. This is a democracy, hopefully, the Ireland, I would like to hope. The oldest democracy, and I'd like to hope that people can speak about what they want on the doorstep, but more importantly, that the MHKs and prospective MHKs can say what they want and give their opinion on the doorstep about something. And I really believe that that should be everybody, just not those who haven't got a wish to be in the Council of Ministers. Every MHK should have the right to say exactly what they want to say on the doorstep, so people have trust in them to put them in for the next 5 years, because we cannot go around and again like this for another 5 years with this kind of closed government we've got. We've got to get to the bottom of all these issues, and we've got to start opening up and finding out what the government are thinking instead of them keeping everything secret. And this is just one more of those little quirks that may be perfectly legally sound, but it just adds to the suspicion that people are being told what to say and what not to say.
What would you sort of see as sort of the bare minimum change, I guess? So if the Attorney General reads your letter and says, I can't make those changes, but I can do this, what do you feel like would be sort of the bare minimum you'd like to see changed to the current guidance?
I think what we also put in the letters, we'd like to see some guardrails in. So if they can't change the advice so that everybody can talk about what they feel they want to talk about at an election, which we strongly believe is the only real way, the only alternative really is for the AG's office to issue guidelines about what people can and can't discuss, and where we cross over the line from making a decision about or making an opinion about what the Morvanen proposal brings to the island or doesn't bring to the island and what it does. So where's the cutoff point? Can you say to somebody on the doorstep, oh yes, this is a very big issue and I'm extremely concerned about it and I would like to get into the House of Keys and discuss it in great length, and until that time I can't give you my opinion on it? Is that gone too far? Is that not enough? It certainly wouldn't be enough for me if I was stood at the doorstep listening to a prospective MHK. So where's the cutoff point? Where do you say, you know, I can speak up to this amount about that, and then I have to say, sorry, I can't speak any more about it? Guardrails we would like about what can be spoken about and what can't, for all members of Garth, all Garth residents, is just ask your candidate to express their view and find out, because there's no getting away from the fact this is the biggest subject in Garth, and you need to know that candidate's view, and you can make your decision about how you vote on their reply. But this is bigger than Garth now, as you know, with Dr. Allenson's announcement at the MEMA hearing on Friday, that this is a first of proposed up to what we've calculated up to 6 farm possibilities around the island. This is the first test bed. And although it's been refuted on social media by the Chief Minister, that certainly was the understanding that we've had from all the paperwork we have read here at Garth Commissioners. We must be the independent experts on the Morvanen wind farm now, because we've read that much paperwork. And we have certainly seen that proposal for multiple wind farms within paperwork that we have read.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.